This podcast is brought to you by PodPro Australia.
Welcome back to another episode of the Property Investor's Handbook, your go-to source for all things property management. I'm your host, and today we're diving into a topic that might seem simple, but it can actually end up costing property owners big time, getting the tenant to fix property issues themselves. We're going to actually pull apart the whole who should pay for what when it comes to things around property. So joining us again is Colleen Sutherland from Sutherland's Property Management Group, here to share expertise on why this approach of getting the tenant to pay for things should really be a no-go, or managing it, or mitigating the risk involved in doing that. So let's get into the nitty-gritty. Colleen, welcome.
Thanks, Adam.
Okay. Can you start by telling me, let's just break it up, sort of draw a line down the middle, and let's go through some things of what a tenant is responsible to be paying for and what a landlord is responsible to be paying for.
So a tenant, they pay to rectify any damage that they've caused. They do consumables.
Light bulbs, things like that.
Yeah, light bulbs and batteries.
Yep.
In their remotes. And they pay for anything that they request, and the landlord will give approval to do that, but you have to pay for it and you have to make good.
Right.
The landlord pays for everything else.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay. Do you see much sort of argument over things that where who does pay for this, who does, like, one that just came to mind, just as you said that when you said batteries for a remote, what if a remote gets lost?
Oh, well, again, if they've created it, then they have to pay for it. So you've been given two remotes at the start of the tenancy, mm-hmm. and your handbag is stolen. I don't know whether you've got a handbag, but your handbag's stolen, and in it was the garage remote. Yes. You have to pay for the cost of replacement.
Right.
I can help you do that, mm-hmm. but you need to foot the bill for it.
Right.
And we'll get you a quote. This is how much I can do it for, and get it coded. And then you have to pay me so I can pay the trade.
Okay. Let's start talking repairs for things when a tenant has done damage. And so, well, look, it's a minefield here. So there's repairs for things that need to be repaired that the landlord is responsible for, and then there's repairs for things that the tenant has done. Talk to me about the process. Let's go one at a time. So the tenant's kicked a hole in the wall. Let's say. Accidentally.
Yes.
and they need to get that repaired. Can they do that independently without contacting you, get it all done? What happens in that circumstance?
That getting it done without me knowing is a rare thing, but they can employ a plasterer to come and cut that out, patch it, paint it.
Right.
And you don't know any different. Yep. If you as the tenant gets in there and goes, oh, it's only a little hole, I'm going to bog it. I can get this stuff from Bunnings and I'd bog it. And it's all ripply and I've painted it over and go, that's good.
Hope she doesn't notice.
Yeah, and I noticed. I can tell you that I'm going to tell you to take that out and properly repair it, because it was properly a full wall when you came in, not a wall with a bogged up hole.
Sure. So to clarify then, if it's their responsibility to fix the damage, let's call it this hole again, are they obligated to tell you before they do it? Let's say they do a good job. It's fine. It's as you would have done. They're not obligated to have to come to you and tell you and get it done through any of your particular contractors?
No. As long as they've got it done by a professional, or if you know how to cut that plaster out and do it yourself.
As long as it's done to the standard you expect.
Good
standard. All right, so the other side of the equation is the one I'm more interested in, which is where there's, you know, damage from a water leak or something like that, where it is the landlord's responsibility, and are they would generally, what if the tenant then says, I can get that sorted for you?
No.
This is what we're talking about.
Why no is because if there's a water leak, say the flexi hose burst under the ensuite vanity, which regularly happens, but it's burst And the tenant usually rings us in a panic to go, my bedroom's full of water and I need to get somebody to fix the plumbing. So what we will get you to do is turn the water to the house off, or water to the unit, turn it off. That's as far as I'm going to get you to go.
Yep.
Because then I'll get the plumber out to fix the plumbing issue, and then I fix the resultant damage. So it's come out through the ensuite, and I get all the ensuite, have to get all the ensuite replaced because it's swollen from the water. I have to get the water sucked out of the carpet and either clean the carpet or replace the carpet. I do all the things that are fixed to the house. However, if the water has come out of the ensuite and you've got your brand new shoes in the walk-in robe, they're not covered.
Right.
Because they're yours.
Yep.
I'm fixing what's the owner's, and the building insurance will only be covered by what's the owner's. And at the start of every tenancy, we will tell you to get your own personal contents insurance. Okay. And if those shoes are wrecked, you can claim them on insurance.
Is that a legislative requirement for tenants to get contents insurance?
No, it's not. It's a recommendation by the property manager. So what will happen is you'll get contents insurance. You may even get renter's insurance.
Yep.
And renter's insurance covers you that if you get made redundant or you have an accident and can't work, all those sort of things, they will pay a portion of your rent, and then you only have to come up with 15-20%.
Sure.
So we would recommend you get insurance, but it's up to you to actually get it.
Sure. Okay. So have you ever had a landlord, or is it common for a landlord to say, oh, look, can we just get the tenant to fix that and I'll fix them up?
It can be.
You'd recommend against it.
I would, because if I know the tenant and you work in a bank, I'm not going to get you to fix a hole in the wall.
Yep.
Because you'll just do the handyman job and bog it. So it will save a lot of headache down the track, that if I fix it properly now, down the track, I don't have to think about it again.
Sure. This may come back to those landlords who do try to keep expenses to a minimum, do try to cut corners and sort of almost think, well, I don't mind if the tenant bogs it, if that's going to save me $1,000 on getting the qualified. Do you ever have that where you've sort of almost got to go into to argue with them about getting it done properly, because it's your job to protect their investment, and you don't feel as though the decision they're making is doing that?
Correct. So
that must be a hard
It is hard
discussion.
And I'll give you a scenario. Quite a few years ago, the toilet door at the back got kicked in. I don't know how you kick the toilet door in, but isn't there a song about that? Anyway.
Sorry, you've just made my mind go crazy. What could have been going on in there for them to get so angry to kick the in? Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Anyway, unless there was something behind the door and they wished the door open.
That could be it.
But the landlord was happy with the tenant bogging it up. So I didn't see it until it happened a couple of months before he went to move out, and we thought, we go and do the final. Sure. And I went, what's this at the back of the door? And he goes, oh, we had a bit of an accident, and he's done the bogging up of a door. So doors are fairly flimsy.
Yeah,
so you can't actually patch a door, ever.
You've got to get a new door.
You've got to get a new door. And doors are super cheap. Internal doors are super cheap. Anyway, the owner said, oh, look, don't worry about it. And he painted it the right colour, but don't worry about it. And it was a mess.
It didn't look good at all.
No. So then he went to sell the property, and it came up with the door needs replacing because it's been compromised. And I said to the owner, the door actually needs replacing. What door? What? And I went, well, we've had a discussion about this a couple of tenancies ago, and you were happy to leave it. No, I wasn't. Yeah, you were. No, no. So I had to troll through all these emails to find where he said, just leave it. And so when the time comes, I said, here's where you said you'll be fine. Oh, I don't remember that. So from that point, and again, this is part of my experience, from that point, I don't let anything slide, because it will probably come back to bite me in the ass. Because I sat there for hours looking for these emails, thinking, oh, what date would that have been? So I wasted a lot of time. Mm. So we made a rule in the office that that's not going to happen again.
Fantastic. So this is the comprehensiveness of everything you do that keeps coming through in these podcast episodes, and why, you know, I implore anyone out there, you know, who has properties to bring them across to Colleen. I can't imagine any other business being as comprehensive as you are, having as much knowledge as you do and expertise. And it comes across in this, you care. You know, you really do care for both sides. And you know, you've got a strong will to help and do the right thing. I want to finish this episode by just asking you, and I know you'll be able to answer this very easily, how does Sutherland's Property Management Group handle maintenance requests and ensure compliance and all legal and safety standards are up to scratch?
The compliance is now... Section 185 has always been in the Tenancy Act, which says the landlord must keep the property clean and fit to live in and safe. So that's the section that we exercise when we're doing maintenance. Yep. Maintenance from the tenant has to be in writing unless it's urgent, and they get told that at the start of the tenancy, so nothing can go wrong. So we've got it in writing from you that this happened. You didn't tell me everything that needed to be fixed, and then something else happens. But my maintenance man or my plumber will go there and fix the tiles on the roof. And at the same time, he sees that valley on the roof is blocked.
Yep.
And he'll ring me and say, do you want me to clean this valley out because it's going to cause problems? And while he's up there on the roof, I'll say, yep, go ahead. Instead of, no, get down, let me get a quote. Let me send it to the end. Oh, it's raining really hard. Oh, now there's water's got in the...
Another call out. Yeah, et cetera.
That's how you remain compliant, is the proactive approach to property maintenance.
And having your maintenance people, your book of contractors, you know they're all qualified, you know they're all licensed, they've got all the right...
Qualifications
and everything else.
So we've got one where a landlord didn't like our quotes from some storm damage.
I can hear a story coming here.
And he didn't like the quote, and it was $3,000 because there was a problem with the roof. It had been leaking for some time because it's in a corner pocket of the roof that you didn't know. So when the eaves fell down, these things were revealed. So we made safe, and we got the handyman, we got the contractor, who's a carpenter, out there to tell us how to fix it properly so it doesn't happen again.
Yep.
And his quote came in at $3,000. So the landlord didn't take up the claim because he could have claimed it on insurance because he had a high excess, and rightly so.
Sure.
Because insurance is just so expensive now. And I do get that. But put that $2,000 excess into another account. So when the time comes, I've got the excess and we'll get it fixed. So what's happened is he's gone and got a handyman quote and came in much cheaper at $745 or something it came in. And it's your house, you do with it as you want, but I need to make sure that he's licensed, qualified and insured, and that he'll come back if anything's wrong. So when he was there fixing the eaves, he's fixed the front porch light and he's done some electrical work. And it's like, and he goes, oh, and I fixed that light. And we're going, you did what? So we have to engage an electrician for that and a plumber for that. You at home might be able to fix that front light. I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
No.
But you might be able to do it at home. But because you have to run the business, the property as a small business.
You've got to do things by the
book. Yeah, you've got to do things by the book.
Yep.
So when we were talking about insurance before, if something happened, and the fire brigade said, well, this light was faulty. Oh, that's because the handyman put it back together. And it's like, sorry, insurance, we're not claiming. And it's, so you've created another problem by doing that.
Wow.
I understand why he got the cheap guy, because, you know, he might be strapped for cash or whatever. But there's other ramifications that you need to think of when it comes to maintenance.
Absolutely. Look, it's an underlying theme that just keeps coming through with this. Yeah. You don't know you need you guys until you do, where something goes incredibly wrong. And even with that story, if your insurance is invalid for something like that and the house burns down, my goodness, look at that. You could have lost your entire investment. So.
Well, I have another one where the tenant moved in and changed. You know when the light globes, those funny LED globes years ago were in because it saved you energy. He went through and changed all those light globes. Now, he didn't get a good quality light globe because they're only going to light my bedroom up.
Yep.
He just got the cheapy Bunnings one.
Sure.
And he's put it in his bedroom. It's where the incident happened. And he's gone, he's in the kitchen, just so happened to be home. And he's gone into the bedroom to go to the bathroom or whatever. And he saw all this smoke billowing out of the light. And it, cutting a long story short, I had to send the electrician, but it tripped all the lights out. And I had to get an electrician out to replace the light fitting because it burnt. But he just so happened to be there to catch it and the trip switch. And he goes, the electrician said the insulation was over the transformer of light and the quality of the globe heated the whole thing up and it was smoking about to catch fire.
Wow.
So, yeah. While you think you're doing a good thing, I'll just change those to energy efficient. You choose the cheapest quality, you've got to know why.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like choosing a cheap quality property manager. So.
Yep. Look, it's pretty clear that saving a few dollars up front can lead to much larger costs or even worse ramifications down the line, not to mention potential legal implications as well. So, look, for property owners out there, remember, it's not just about maintaining your property. It's about protecting your investment. And that's what Colleen and her team, Bree, do so, so well. So thanks again for another really insightful episode, Colleen. Join us next time for more insights and expert advice on property management. And look, please do leave some comments for us. If there's an episode you'd like us to do on any particular topic that you'd like to know a bit more about,
Or if you've got any questions.
Yeah, put them in the comments. We get back to everyone. And we'll see you again on the next episode. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Adam.